Hey, I'm Kylie Ross, and you are listening to the Tech Savvy Creatives podcast, where each week I'll be introducing you to ranges of tech tools with a special focus for writers, authors, and bloggers, and how you can become a confident tech savvy creative. This first series of the podcast will take you on a journey that I hope will give you simple and productive ideas, plus action steps for creating a tech savvy process flow, one that suits you to allow you to create with ease. You can find the episode show notes and much more at techsavvycreatives.com/podcast. Now, here's the show. Welcome, creatives, to this episode number 5 of the Tech Savvy Creatives podcast, and it is Sunday, the 11th of October, as I'm recording this. I'm going to talk about some of my favourite tech tools today around planning and task management. I use them in my life as a writer and for my blogging processes, and I'm also going to give you a few others that you may want to check out. So just on a personal note, there has been a bit of a delay in my podcast being published, and I just wanted to apologize for the delay if you're a regular listener. It's been a few months actually since I last published a podcast, and the reason is solely down to this fabulous year that we're having. This pandemic, it's really depressed me, as I'm sure it's done for many, many of you out there. I started to second guess myself and question whether I really had anything of value to talk to you guys about. I started to think, what was the point? And I got into some places where I thought, well, maybe what was the point of Tech Tools for Authors and Tech Savvy Creatives? So anyway, I've realized that this is going to be our new normal, and shutting myself off from the online world that I enjoy so much isn't really going to be the best thing for me. So I sat down last week and I've planned out the next 12 podcasts, and yeah, so we're going to do it, I'm going to do it with a strong focus on being confident and tech savvy and getting through your normal day-to-day as a creative. I'm aware that a lot of us are looking for other ways to make an income and working from home, and that really needs to be an option for many of us. Utilizing the internet and understanding tech can be really scary for those of us who did not grow up with tech. I'm going to tell you a little bit about me to help you understand how I became tech savvy and how I am now in a position to teach others, and let you know it's possible to understand apps and software and how to choose the options that best suit your learning and creative writing style. Just because someone tells you it's the best doesn't mean it's the best for you. So I was a kid in the 70s, a teenager in the 80s, and so I didn't grow up with tech. Even in my 20s, which would have been the 1990s, tech wasn't a big thing. My first mobile phone was one of those old Nokias with the buttons that you pressed. Do you remember those? I didn't get that until I was 26 years old. I was a high school dropout. Yeah, I dropped out of high school when I was 16, and my biggest plan was to marry my high school sweetheart and have babies. But I always had this urge to make a living and be my own boss. And I was based in a small country town, so there weren't a lot of options at that time. So I started to make clothes for people, and it was okay, but you know, there's not a lot of demand in a small country town, and most people can do things for themselves. I also had this really big urge to go traveling, but my fiance didn't. So as young love does, we broke up and I moved to the Big Smoke, and I started working in a bar because I thought this would be a good skill to use when I landed in London, especially for a high school dropout. However, as life does, the universe takes you on a few turns, and your first plan is not always the plan that eventuates, as I've learnt many times. And as I tried to save up money for my plane ticket to fly to London, I ended up working in hospitality for almost 5 years. I really didn't know where the time went, but I was having fun. I was in my late teens, and it was awesome. Eventually, I got sick of this lifestyle, serving drinks to drunks every night and not being out and about having a life that I wanted to do. I also realized that I wanted to earn more and have a better lifestyle than share houses and secondhand clothes. So I was accepted to university as a mature age student at the ripe old age of 21 to study accountancy. And this is where the tech comes in. So some of the subjects involve computers. I'd never used a computer before, so this was where it got interesting. All the students I started with were a few years ahead of me and had been learning computers in high school, so I really had some catching up to do. Now, accounting is all about the numbers and how you add them up and report on them in a very basic level. So I had to learn Lotus 1-2-3, which was a popular spreadsheet software before Microsoft Excel. So do any of you out there listening remember that? I don't even think it exists anymore. I haven't heard of it for years. So I also need to add here that I didn't have a mobile phone, especially not a smartphone. They just, you know, you had to be rich to have those, and you know, very few people had them. So luckily for me, I found that I really enjoyed tech and learning about different apps and how I could apply them to my studies. So later, after I'd left uni and I began my first job, I expanded my training into learning about networks and how to manage them for a small business. Mostly it was accounting piece of software and Microsoft apps, like the Access Database, Word and Excel. These were the main apps that most small business, well, that I was working for anyway at the time, used. And the main message I'd like you to take away from my story is that if you want to learn, you will. I really enjoyed learning the tech, so I taught myself how to learn. And most apps have a bit of a logic to them, and once you get that logic, you can pretty much teach yourself how to go. I've also learned a few tricks along the way, which I'm going to be sharing in my podcast with you. But the willingness to want to learn is your first step. If you want to, you will. Okay, you'll search out the resources, they'll come to you, and you'll be fine. So let's pop in nicely now to today's topic, which is on planning and task management tech tools that are really useful for writers and bloggers. So the podcasts that are going to follow this one are going to take you further along the writing process journey. So the way I create is broken down into these steps. So planning and task management, which is the focus of today's podcast. So it's all around brainstorming, plotting, outlining your manuscript, and how this may fit into a series if you're a fiction, even a non-fiction writer. Also, you can plan your blog topics as a blogger. I appreciate not all you writers out there are going to be major bloggers, but you will do some blogging. So having a strategy for an online course, for an ebook, or for other product launches, you really need to have some kind of an idea to help promote organic traffic, because it's way cheaper than paying for ads all the time. And it's also a good way of retaining readers and listeners if you're a podcaster. So blocking out time in your calendar to work on this and having checklists for each step is really helpful. So what planning app are we going to use? What file are we going to use? What's our checklist for where we put a blog together? Where are we going to share it to? How many pieces of content can you make from one specific blog? And my process goes through, and I've got all my little checklists and how I do this. So the next steps in my process, which we're going to dive into in some future podcasts, so each of these in order is going to be a podcast basically. So content creation, so actually writing your blog, writing your podcast, writing your book, all of that sort of stuff. Editing and proofing, no matter what you write, even if it's just a small blog with a few hundred words, it's still worth editing it and proofing it. So the same tools apply whether it's a 60,000 word novel or whether it's just a blog. Image editing and ebook formatting, and that can come in really helpful if you can do that yourself. Creating videos. Now, not all writers will want to do that, so I appreciate that's not for everyone, but bloggers definitely will be doing that. And also you might want to do a book trailer, and if you understand how to create videos, it might be something that you're interested in. The next steps are self-publishing. So what formats do you need the books in and where to send it? So we'll go through that. Scheduling your social media and your blogs, both on your website and out to various platforms. There's some really good apps that are useful for that. Email lists, the tech behind the email list is where I'm going with that. Analytics, so how you can use certain analytic apps to trace where your traffic is coming from, so that you can maybe put a bit more effort into things that work, things that don't. And finally, once you've got all of that happening and your income is starting to come in, you need to record your sales and your financial transactions. And there's various ways that you can do that, and we'll go through from spreadsheets to apps, so let you know what are the options. So I have to say, in my previous life, I was an accountant. So So that's what I went to uni for. So I did that for 15 plus years, and I focused on cost and systems accounting. So I have a very good understanding about how to map things together. So we're going to go through that. All right, so let's start with planning for a writer, and then we'll discuss planning for a blogger. So both are very similar, but the tasks that follow can be quite different. So there's different starting points depending on if you're a plotter or a pantser type of writer. And I personally started as a pantser, just letting the story take me until I realized having a plan is way easier and more productive, especially for a series, and gets the writing done faster when you know what each scene should be about. So let's assume you're interested in plotting and you want to know the tech that you could use to plot. So my favorite is Aeon Timeline. So it's A-E-O-N Timeline, because it lets me plot my chapters and scenes as individual events into a timeline, and you can add characters and location info to each scene, and you can slice and dice the look of your timeline to see where your characters are sitting in which scenes, so you can get a good pacing analysis on that. And so the ability to customize the timeline to suit your type of writing style and particular genre is easy and quick to achieve. Plus there's options to then sync your plotted timeline directly to Scrivener or Ulysses, which are popular writing apps. So you can start writing without the need to re-enter all the details that you just brainstormed. To me, that's a no-brainer because I hate repetitive data entry. If I can avoid that, I will. It's just the hugest time saver. So of course, you can also brainstorm an outline directly into the software that you use to write your novel. So whether you write fiction or non-fiction, the apps for writing are basically the same, and you just pick which one suits you. So we'll get to these in all the different options of the writing apps in more detail in podcast number 6, which is going to be Writers and Bloggers Content Creation Tech Tools. But essentially, you have Microsoft Word. I think that's probably the most commonly known one, which is very popular for writers who use that software if they've come from a day job where they know Word and they know that that's document writing. Then there's Scrivener, which is widely known as the most popular writing app for serious writers and authors. And in between, there are many more, and which one really depends on you and how you think and write. There's no best software that you must use. There is really only the best one for your writing style. And hopefully from listening to the podcast, and if you delve further into any of my blog posts and resources, I'm going to help you find what your style is so that you can make sure that you pick the right apps. So today we're really focusing on the planning and not the actual writing. So let's step back to the planning aspect, and you can take a lot of notes in various documents, so also known as files, and keep all your characters in one file. You can do your word building in another, and then you can write your novel in another. And I'm kind of talking about Word when I'm talking about this, because it really lends itself to that style of writing. Scrivener, on the other hand, has different options, and where you can put character information in one folder, research in another folder, your world building in another, but it's all the one file, or as Scrivener calls it, a project. So it's essentially a single file. So you've got all the pieces of the puzzle in there, plus you've got the section to write your novel. So you are not jumping into different files to figure out pieces of the puzzle, pieces of the information. There's also tricks to write the whole series in a particular file in Scrivener as well. Okay, so let's talk about that. So again, it does depend on what you're looking for, but you can plan in the timeline software or you can plan in the writing app. It just depends how you like to lay things out visually, really. But for me, it all gets a bit hard to keep track of my story and the timeline of events if I'm writing in the writing app. So I prefer to brainstorm and outline my story in Aeon Timeline. And so I can set my story in the order that I'm going to write it, or how I'm going to want the readers to read it, because my genre is paranormal romance with a bit of a time travel twist in there. So things that are happening hundreds of years ago need to slot in to the story. So that's why a timeline comes in really handy for me. Plus, I can also add tags and keywords into the timeline to help me filter it and sort it different ways so that I can do some analysis on it and say, well, how are my parts going? How's my pacing? If I just want to look at certain types of scenes together, I can say, well, okay, these are all the mystery bits. These are all the romance bits. This is the general story. Throw in a few Easter eggs for the next bit of the series, the next novel. So I can do all of that and I can lay it out really easily. So that's why I prefer that one. And also, if I put my blogger hat on, I use Eon Timeline for that as well. So I can split my content up between my Tech Tools for Authors blog, my Tech Savvy Creatives podcast, and I also share some of my blogs on Medium and write for Medium as well. So it's always easier if you can kind of split things out, but you need to see it as a bit of a whole picture to see where all your streams are coming from, where you're writing. So it allows me to easily see what my strategy is for the month and make sure that I'm tying in the content to suit and complement all of the mediums that I'm using and all the mediums that I'm sharing in. This makes it super easy for a content creation calendar, and it allows me to make notes within each topic on the timeline so I know what I was thinking when I planned it. It's especially useful if there's a space of a few weeks before I actually find the time to write it, which often happens if you're getting your planning happening well. So I use Scrivener to write my blog posts and podcasts because I can easily use drag and dictate to speak my thoughts and get the words written that much faster. Not all apps you can dictate into, so that's just something to think about as well. So how do you currently do your planning? I'm very curious to know what you like to do. Are you a post-it note type of planner, or do you like to write in a notebook or multiple notebooks? Been there, done that. And that was me quite a few years ago. I guess you stay with what you're comfortable with and what you first learnt to use early on in your writing or blogging career. For us more mature people, we didn't have the option of tech when we first started to learn how to take notes, record our thoughts or tasks and to-dos. Our only option was paper. Today, though, there are so many choices on how to take notes. And I really like all the automation that tech gives us, but sometimes I just like to write with a pen on paper to slowly expand an idea or brainstorm a new storyline. Now, who here listening has heard about digital planners? Anybody? I was hugely skeptical at first as to how I could use an iPad tablet to write on that would take the place of a writing pad. But over my career of the last 20 plus years, I've been an accountant and an IT consultant, and I've traveled quite extensively for that career. Carrying a lot of stuff when you're traveling, it gets you over the carry-on limit very, very quickly. I've needed to have training manuals, take notes in meetings, have my laptop. I want to read a book when I'm on the plane or in the airport. So if I can minimize and reduce the amount of items that I'm carrying and the weight, I was all for it. So I really went in all in and worked out how I could do this. So I looked at the digital side of taking notes, and what especially drew me to the iPad first was the fact that I could use it to read books. And that eliminated one or two books from my carry-on right there. Then I started exploring the note-taking side of the iPad. And in the early days of this for me, say around 6 or 7 years ago, the apps and the stylus working together to mimic actual handwriting weren't great. But they've come a really long way since then, and my preferred option right now, and one that I've been using for the last 3 or 4 years, is your iPad Pro and the Apple Pencil. So those two combined just make the writing experience just like I'm writing on paper. Okay, it doesn't have the drag that the paper does, but I'm okay with that. I like my nice smooth finish, and the writing that appears on the iPad matches the pencil, because stylus of years ago there was a delay of a few seconds, or the writing would be a little spot up from where the stylus actually was. It was very distracting. So once I got the right hardware, I needed to find the right software, and I've looked at quite a few of them, played around with a few. One that I've had for quite a few years now and I've stayed with is NoteShelf 2. I just like the way that it works for me. Now, each person's going to have their own little way of doing it. GoodNotes is another really good note-taking app, and so is Notability. And there's a few of them out there. Those are the sort of the more popular ones that I'm aware of. But NoteShelf 2 is the one that I like to use. You can also write in Evernote and OneNote as well. I just find the experience is a little bit of a time lag in it. I don't find it quite as nice and smooth as NoteShelf. So, but anyway, that's why I like to move away from the pen and paper, so I can still have my writing style, a lot less to carry around, less I need to find. And if I need to search for something in my notebooks, it's right there on my iPad. So I'm not going to the shelf, or I've rocked up at a customer back in my consulting days and I don't have the manual or the notebook that I need some obscure reference that they've said, oh, some other customer and recommends this, and you go, oh yes, I remember that, and it's in some other notebook. So I don't have that hassle anymore. Everything I have is in the one device. So did you also know that with training manuals, if you're learning anything, if anyone provides you with a PDF, you can put it on your iPad in one of your note writing apps and you can then annotate over it. You can highlight it, scribble on it, and make notes. And I find that invaluable, because what's the point of having a document that you have to then print out and scribble on? You don't have to do that. You can just put it in your iPad and write over it. Perfect. So there's also other options, and you can get pre-formatted digital planners for your day-to-day calendar items as well. And I use these sometimes, but mostly if I'm at my desk, I'll update my calendar directly on my device. So digital planners, though, they allow you to take meeting notes or have ideas pages for you to write on, maybe if you're interviewing someone for an upcoming blog article or a podcast, or during your day job while you're writing as your side hustle, you can have your meetings. So handwriting on a tablet is way easier, and I find more polite, than staring at your laptop and typing notes. Because when you're writing, you can keep more eye contact with the person or people that you're in the room with, rather than the more informal way of not making eye contact with them and taking notes on a laptop. I don't know about you, but I've been in larger meetings with some attendees over the years where actually, I don't think everyone was actually in that meeting paying attention. I think some of them were surfing the net and seeing what they would get up to on the weekend. So anyway, of course, do what suits you. I like to have a content creation calendar on my iPad where I can brainstorm notes over my morning coffee while sitting on my back balcony. It's more relaxing than having my laptop there with me as I'm on it most of the day. Sometimes I just like to have a break. So musing about upcoming tech tips, ideas, and blog posts can be actioned on my digital planner. I actually couldn't find exactly what I wanted to suit me, so I learned how to create my own. If you're interested, you can check out the shop over on techsavvycreatives.com/shop, where you can watch a video on how I use the content creation calendar on my iPad. And if you like it, you can download it for Australian $7.95, which if you're in the US, that's half that, I think, these days. Exchange rates, great. But there's a video explainer on how to use it, how to put it on your device. I personally use it with NoteShelf too, but any note taking app that allows for PDF annotation will work, and they all pretty much seem to. So it's just a bit of an idea covering off the planning side of being a writer and a blogger. Just a couple of little tips and tricks in there and some apps that you could use. So if we move on to the task management side and the way that we action those planned items that we now have. So we've planned out what we're working on, and if we go as a writing example, we're writing a novel, and it could be a part of a series. Now initially we're going to be putting blocks of time aside to write the novel, and depending on the speed that you write, that could take months. But around the writing, you can have other things that you need to do, like picking the kids up, meeting up with friends, car service appointments, etc. You also are going to have a timeline of when you would like to get the book written, so at least the first draft, what's your deadline. Then the tasks are going to move into editing and proofing, plus other activities that you may or may not outsource to actually have an editor look at it or a proofreader, book cover creation, formatting the final version for publishing. And then you need to think about, if you're self-publishing, what your book launch is going to look like. Are you going to run ads? Will you have a social media strategy? There are a lot of items involved in getting there, and most need to be thought through prior to when you need them to get all the pieces in the ducks in a row, so to speak. So how do you currently keep track of all these items? For me, I like to utilize the same software that I use for my planning, and that is Eon Timeline. I can create a timeline file for my novel, but I can also create a timeline for the launching of that book and what I'm going to need for teasers for the social media, or will I be creating a book trailer? Where do I get my images from? Who is creating the book cover? When will they have it ready for me? What do I need to give them? And all these things that you need to think about before you actually launch. So keeping a plan to include them and making sure that you're ahead of the game and not racing around after the fact can be really helpful to get your book out there faster. Because you don't need a timeline software to do this. If you're writing on a device, then you will most likely have calendar software that's pre-installed on your device. This could be your Mac calendar if you're using a Mac, or on a Windows-based device, you might be using Outlook, which has a calendar, email, and a task list all in one. So if you're using some kind of a browser-based email like Gmail, for example, that will also provide a calendar and reminders options. I highly recommend checking out what is included on your device that doesn't include any extra monthly subscription fees. And then if that doesn't suit you, look elsewhere. But most of the time, you've got everything that you need ready to go. You don't need to go and buy extra software or download something different. But if you have multiple projects and email accounts like me, so I have Tech Tools for Authors, Tech Savvy Creatives, and I have the podcast, I have the blog, Write for Medium. I'm also writing for myself to hopefully be a nice paranormal romance writer. So putting all of that together, I needed something a little bit more. So I do plan with Eon Timeline. Now, the thing with Eon Timeline is it is a one-off fee. It's not a monthly subscription type of option. You can have it on a Mac or a PC, and it also is made for iOS, so for iPad devices. And last time I looked, which was only a few weeks ago, it was roughly $65. So it's not a big ticket software app, and once you've bought it, you've bought it. You know, you get all the updates included in that. So it is pretty cool to do that. Now the licenses are separate for the iOS device, but I'm pretty sure that it's one software for both the Mac and or Windows. As long as you're using it once, you can have it on two different devices. And I just find that great for utilizing for fiction, for non-fiction, for book launches, content creation planning, and pretty much any type of timeline planning that you can think of. If you don't need to track costs and milestones and multiple different people on a project, you don't need project software to manage it all. And if you've got all of this stuff happening, it can get a bit messy and overawed if you're putting all of these different entities and timelines into some of the reminder software. So I prefer to break it down into Eon Timeline. I've set my timelines up customized to me, so that works really well for me. So something to think about if you're getting multiple entities and you want to look for something a bit more. It's a good value option. So in addition to these options that I've mentioned, you could also look at Trello. Trello, if you haven't heard of that. And they offer what they call boards. And on each board, you can have multiple lists, card lists. And each side each list, you have cards. And inside the card, you have you can also add checklists. So your card is your action item. It's your task. And you can have different boards that say, like, to do, in progress, complete. And you just move the card through the different statuses. If any of those who are listening that's of a more of an IT background, it's a Kanban, essentially. So you're just moving it through the different stages, and that's how you can mark off what status it's at. So that's another option that you might want to look at. It's pretty. Another one that I do use is Ayoa. So A-Y-O-A, Ayoa. And it is pretty cool. It's really visually nice to look at. It has mind maps, task lists, Gantt charts, and it's kind of like the Trello board all rolled into one as well, because you can move your items around and it changes the status of them without having to go on all these extra clicks. So I've been using it for the last year. It does have a monthly subscription fee though, so if that's not something that suits you, there is a free option, but you don't get a lot of cards or a lot of events in there, or a lot of boards, until you have to go to the paying option. But I definitely recommend checking it out on the free option for sure, because it's visually really pretty and it has an app for it as well on any tablet. And another one I've just started to trial is Notion, Notion. It's free for personal use, and my entities here, or my personas, it's just me. So that's personal use. It doesn't have the visual appeal of AOR, and it doesn't have the mind mapping, but it has really customizable features. And once I got my head around what I wanted to do with it, I'm actually pretty happy with it at the moment, and it's free. So that's a good value add option. So have a look at those. Okay, so I've thrown a lot at you today. That's our podcast for today. But I really hope you found something of value from the topics that I've discussed. And just to go over the main points that I covered, my favorite planning and task management tech tools, plus a few others for you to consider, is what we talked about. Now, I know we haven't deep dived into all the options you can look into, but there are some great starting points. And if there's an area you want to make some changes or improvements in, you've got some places to start. So also, never forget, if you want to learn, you will. So getting up to speed with tech, if you didn't grow up with an iPad, can be really daunting. It's not second nature to grab a device like it is for the youngins, but this is the way the world is turning. And if you do choose to get on board and make your writing and blogging life that little bit easier, go for it. Otherwise, you can ignore it and keep going with post-its and pen and paper. It's totally up to you. It's really a personal choice. But what I would like to add, though, is if you are writing and blogging or blogging in the hopes of this becoming a new source of income, then you will need to keep up with tech. You will need to embrace it. And once you do, you will really benefit from it. So if you remember nothing else about my podcast today, just remember, if you want to learn, you will. Okay, question for you now. What tech tools are inside your writer's toolkit or your blogger's toolkit? Do you have a toolkit? If you have a few minutes, I'd love for you to share in the comments over at techsavvycreatives.com/podcasts for this podcast number 5. And just let me know. Just let me know what you use. I'd love to hear what you're interested in if you've got any questions. I'd also be interested to know, how do you feel about the stages that you go through from your idea to publish, whether that be writing a book or blogging? Do the current apps that you use work for you, or are you finding it frustrating and confusing? Drop me a comment, let me know. So if you enjoyed this episode, please leave a rating and a review on where you listen. And it would be really awesome if you could also take a moment to screenshot and share this episode out to your social. If you do, tag me in and I'll be sure to reply and share your comments and takeaways from the episode as well. Win-win for both of us. So you can also add me to your Patreon podcast listens over on patreon.com. So that's patreon.com/tech-savvy-creatives, no spaces. And all the links are on the podcast transcript, which you can find on the site. So I pack a load of benefits into your patronage each month with additional podcasts and benefits for patrons, and all for the price of a coffee or two each month. So check it out, and I look forward to including you in my next shout outs. So thanks for listening today, and don't forget, if you want to delve further into anything discussed on this episode, check out the show notes over on techsavvycreatives.com/podcasts with an S on the end, and I look forward to you tuning in next week. So take care, and I hope you and yours have a safe and creative week.